I'm going to open up your Bible, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we'll be spending most of our time in this passage. We'll be turning back to it throughout our lesson if you want to keep it marked. As going through our daily reading, going through John chapter 10 recently, and it goes forward and talks about the good shepherd. The point that is made throughout the these verses here in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, is that the sheep know the good shepherd's voice. So the title of the lesson this evening, do you know the good shepherd's voice? Again, we'll be spending most of the time here in John 10, but we'll look at a few other verses throughout the lesson to add to it, to bring out some points. There's a lot here within these verses as it goes forth and Jesus speaks. So I ask and encourage that you follow along as we go through the lesson this evening. One point I want to bring out, start off with, I guess I didn't put my transitions in, is that there are other shepherds. That there are those who are false shepherds, shepherds that do lead others astray. Here in John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." But there are those who do not enter in the correct path, those who are sneaking in, trying to steal, trying to rob. And again, as we think about this as the kingdom of God, we think of this of the evil one, of course, coming in and trying to pull us astray from our good shepherd, from our Lord and Savior. In verse 8, again, it says, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him." And the point that we're kind of asking is, do you know the voice of the good shepherd? Here in this verse, it brings out the sheep did not hear them. You know, it is the point that they don't listen to the voice of other shepherds. They know the voice of the good shepherd. They know when it is the truth that is being spoken. Again, in verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And so the thief, those who come in to steal and to kill and to destroy. The evil shepherd, those who come in a different way, come in teaching something falsely, come in trying to pull us astray. In verse 5, it brings out, it kind of makes them as a stranger. It says, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So that question comes up, a question that we need to ask. Do we know the truth? Do we know what our Lord sounds like? In Matthew chapter 7, and verse 15, Matthew chapter 7, you can turn along with me there, that it gives us a warning. It warns us. I'm going to go ahead and mark John 10 so I can turn there easy. But Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by the fruits, you will know them." Again, here, he brings out the wonderful point that there are, of course, false prophets, not the greatest point, but that we will know whether or not they are false prophets. We will know them by their actions, by their teachings, by their doctrines. We will know them by their fruits. By what they produce, what comes from them. But we're only going to know that if we truly know the Good Shepherd. If we don't know Christ, if we don't know the Lord, we don't know His teachings, we don't know his doctrine, then anyone who comes to you claiming to be the Good Shepherd, claiming to be the Messiah, the Christ, claiming to teach what is right, how will we know right from wrong? I mean, you look at the next verses here. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So as we think about that, here are those who claim, "Well, I do this in the name of God. I do this in the name of the Lord. I am a servant of the Good Shepherd. Come and follow me." And if they get there, he says, "Lord, did I not bring these people to you?" And he says, "I don't know them. And yet that's the person we've been following." What's he going to say to us? I imagine we're going to hear the same thing. "Depart from me, I do not know them." Because we did not hear the voice of the true shepherd, of our Lord and Savior. But we heard it of those strangers, of the false teachers, of the ravenous wolves. There in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23. Matthew 24 and in verse 23 says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." There are false prophets. There are false teachers. We've gone through it in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, what we pretty much started with this morning in our adult class. Test false spirits to see whether or not they are in the Lord. Check and see where they stand. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, as Paul writes to the brethren there, "As they have been deceived, and as the others have come in and taught something different." So Galatians 1, verse 6, it says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." And so again, Paul makes it clear, there's only one way. As Ephesians 4 brings out, there's only one path, one faith, one Lord, one shepherd in which we need to be turning to. And so, who is the Good Shepherd? Who is that Good Shepherd? In John chapter 10, going back to John chapter 10, and looking here in verse 11, John 10 and verse 11, here our Lord is speaking. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives life for the sheep." In verse 14, again he says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." He is the Good Shepherd. And if we are his sheep, if we are following him, then we truly know who he is. You go back up to verse 7. Here it says, Jesus said to him again, "Most assuredly I said to you, I am the door of the sheep." He is the one that is leading us. He's the one that allows us through to the right place. Again, verse 9, he refers to himself as the door again. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the one in whom we need to be turning to in John 14. John chapter 14, looking there and in verse 6. In John 14, looking at verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except from me." Again, he says, I am the way. He is the way. He is the door. He is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We go through these things. He is the path. He is the way. He is the truth. We must look for the Lord. And make sure that when we are following, we are following Christ. That yes, as we have our studies, we study with one another. Maybe study with the elders, or you and I can sit down, or you have someone who you enjoy going and you trust, and you sit down and we study with one another. We make sure that whatever they are teaching, whatever we are studying, that it lines up with Christ. That it's just not lining up with a person, but we're looking at them and in the mindset of Paul. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That they are truly following the Lord. This next verse probably should have went with the next point that we're about to get into. But Matthew 28 and verse 20. Matthew 28 and verse 20. There, as the Lord sent his disciples out to go and teach, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Again, the good shepherd is always there. The good shepherd is going to be there to protect us and take care of us. Which leads me to that next point of what does the good shepherd do for us? What the good shepherd is always there for us and helping take care of us. And we're going to stay in John chapter 10 for this point and just look at all the different points that it's brought out in these verses. And so John 10, and looking there and in verse 3, John 10 and verse 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So within this verse 1, he opens the door for us. 2, he speaks out to us and he leads them out. So he calls them by name. Again, he knows us. The good shepherd actually knows you. He knows who you are. The Lord hears our prayers. He mediates for us. He takes care of us. And so he opens the door to let us out. And then he doesn't just let us out and wander on our own, but it brings out he leads us. And in verse 4, it continues on that point, right? And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Again, he's leading them. He goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Wherever he goes, they follow because they can hear the good shepherd. They can hear their protector. He goes out before them and they follow the good shepherd. In verse 9, going back to verse 9, I know we read it earlier, but it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Again, why is he the door? What is he the door to? It says here he leads us to the pasture so that we can go and graze, so that we can be in the fields, so that the sheep need to eat. Need to know where the water is so they can get some drink. So they can stretch and be healthy. So spiritually, the Lord is the one that has given us the bread of life. He's the one that has blessed us with water, which if we drink, that we'll never thirst again, right? And so he is the one that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He leads us to the pasture. In verse 11, John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life. In verse 15, it's similar. It says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep. That as the ravenous wolf may come to devour the sheep, he is there to fight it off. He is there to protect us. He's there to give us the strength we need to stand. As you read through it again, it brings out the strangers. And even in these verses, it ends up talking about the hirelings that they have in verse 12. But if a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters. And so, you know, he says you can't always put your full trust in the hireling. Because again, they're there to make money. But the sheep ain't really theirs, and so they're not willing to sacrifice their own life, and so they fled. It says the good shepherd won't flee. The good shepherd will lay his life down for his sheep. And Jesus did. He laid his life down for us. In verse 16 it says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." He takes them astray, right? Which we're blessed to be, right? We're thankful that he was willing to take us in. The good shepherd is looking out for all that is willing to come to him, who are willing to know him. So I'm going to finish the lesson with asking that point. Do you know his voice, though? The verses we've been reading throughout this evening has brought out, they know who he is. They know his voice. Verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice." They hear it. "And he calls his own sheep name and leads them out." Again, verse 4. "And when he brings out his own sheep, they go before him. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." We just read 14:15. "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. And the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Do we know our Lord? Do we know the good shepherd? Which means, again, that we don't literally hear his voice calling, knowing that he's pulling us this direction as we drive out and leave the parking lot. But as others come and they teach, and you see things pop up on social media, and as you have studies with friends at school or at work, you talk about the Word of God, you talk about religion, do you know the truth? Do you know what the Lord sounds like when it comes to his teaching? Do we know the plan of salvation? What God has set forward for one to be saved? Whether that's, again, going all the way back to the point that he has set a plan since before time that his son would have to come down and die for us. And that as he made that promise to Abraham, he made the promise to David, and he fulfilled it in sending his son down. Being born of a woman, born of Mary. But our part of the plan of salvation, that one needs to hear the truth in order to have faith. And as you have faith, you have to act upon that faith and repent of your sins and confess your faith. Be baptized and wash your sins away and continue to walk that faithful path. Maybe you talk about worship. What do you do at services? What should be allowed to be done as we gather together to worship our God? And, do we know his voice? Do we know when people say, "Well, you know what we do over here at my church?" And you hear what they do and you start saying, "You know what, that sounds pretty good." Is it scriptural? Does it line up with the authority of our Lord? Do we have authority, whether it's a direct command, an approved example, or necessary influence, to do such things? Do we know the voice of our Lord when it comes to what is sin? Comes what is righteousness. That is, when we hear others and they give a good spill on why they think it's okay, but what does the Word of God say? What does the Scripture say? That's what it comes down to, because if we are led astray by someone else besides our Lord, we only can be led astray by someone else. Our Lord will not lead us astray. But we allow others to lead us astray, we will miss out. We will be destroyed. We will not enter into the passion. We will not make it to our destination. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. Simple point is we look through these verses here in John 10. But we need to make sure we know the voice of our Lord. We need to make sure we understand and know who he is. As we been going through 1 John, that he is love, and what that means, that we talk about how we have love for one another. We know that he is kind and humble and forgiving, that again, his teachings go forth and tell us how we ought to live our lives, which is so often opposite to what the world has to say. Do we know the truth? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're here and you need prayers of the brethren or anything else we can do for you, let it be.